You're listening to the Douglas Jacoby Podcast. Here we bring you some of the material found on Douglas's website in podcast form. We hope that as you listen, you're challenged to think about faith. Today, Douglas continues his series on the imitation of Christ. Now looking at reading the Holy Scriptures. Now here's today's teaching.
Our 25th lesson is on the reading of the Holy Scriptures. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. 2 Timothy 3:16. This is the 25th podcast in our series, and we're going to be focusing on Book 1, Chapter 5. It's short, but there's an awful lot of meat here, so let's begin. The disciple speaks. We must look for truth in the Holy Bible, not curious concepts. All Scripture should be read in the spirit in which it was written. We must first search for what is profitable for our own spiritual lives, rather than mining Scripture for a sermon, a talk, or Bible study. We ought to read simple devotional books, as well as those that are deep and difficult. Do not let the writer's authority or learning, be it little or great, influence you, but let the love of pure truth attract you to read. Do not ask who said this, but pay attention to what is said. People pass away, but the truth of the Lord endures forever. God speaks in many ways to everyone without respect of persons. Our own curiosity often hinders us in the reading of holy writings when we simply want to discuss and debate issues. Avoid these discussions. If you want to read for your spiritual profit, read humbly, simply, honestly, and not to impress people with your knowledge. Don't be afraid to ask questions and listen in silence to the words of godly people. Don't be displeased at criticism from people who have been Christians longer than you, for there is a reason for their advice. That's the entire chapter, and that's the solid advice of Thomas A. Kempis. I have a number of thoughts I'd like to share with you, 10 in fact, and they're all from this chapter, short as it is. First, we should not seek novelty for novelty's sake. You know, the gospel is seldom advanced through curious, shocking, or novel ideas. Now, I know for a fact, as a new Christian, even before I was a Christian, I was attracted to what was shocking in the faith, what was unusual in Scripture, what was even bizarre in the world. And I think I took a kind of pleasure from shocking people by making statements that I thought were scriptural, but I knew would be difficult for them to accept. And maybe that's something that younger people, not just in years, but also in faith, are drawn to novelty. But as we're told in Hebrews 13:9, we mustn't get carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. We're looking for truth, not curious concepts, as A. Kempis puts it. Next, when we study Scripture, we should avoid reading into it our own opinions, our circumstances, or our culture. How do we do that? I think we've got to be more humble. Have we taken it for granted that we already know how to read Scripture? I mean, people are coming to faith and they're baptized, and they're presented with a new Bible, perhaps, and patted on the back. And it's assumed that the Bible will speak to them directly and they don't need any training. But that's not really true, especially since the Bible is more of a library than a book. It has to be read differently depending on which part of the Bible we're in. And yet, I would ask an even deeper question. Are we sure we know how to read? Now, I'm not saying that to be offensive or to question your literacy. But how do we read? There are right ways to read and wrong ways to read, which will lead us into error. A book I love to recommend, even though its title is extremely bland, it's Mortimer Adler's How to Read a Book. And I would check that out if you've never read it. It's excellent. So when we study, to make sure we're not just finding our ideas in Scripture, we need training. That's the point. Now, he also says that we should search for what's profitable rather than mining Scripture for sermon, talk, or Bible study. Certainly, there's a good point there. We're not just reading to teach others. We're reading for our own soul. But it sometimes is a false dichotomy. In my case, a large amount of what I read on my own ends up in classes and sermons because I find it very inspiring. I would just say this. If your extra-biblical reading is not feeding you, then you should do less of it, or maybe do it, but spend more time simply in Scripture. Maybe at a different time of the day, you can do your reading outside the Bible. But if the two blend together, and there's no rule on this, then don't beat yourself up. It's okay. I'm always reading with an eye on what this means for me and how it will apply to others. Thirdly, as Kempis says, we should begin with ourselves before we prepare to teach others. So again, reading to help others isn't necessarily misguided. It's actually what Kempis is doing in The Imitation of Christ, right? We're reading his book. That's not Scripture, but very useful. Fourth, our extra-biblical reading, he says, should include a range of light and deep, simple and more complicated, intellectually easily and mentally challenging, not just all the same, or books that will only, you know, a lot of people read books written by authors that they agree with. Now, there's nothing wrong with finding yourself in agreement with an author, but if we refuse to read books that come from different perspectives, we're not going to learn. All we're doing is kind of deepening the rut that is in our mind as we read the Bible. We'll continue to see our favorite writers' views in everything we read. That's not right. So we shouldn't stand in awe of people, but of God. It's the Word of God that remains forever. Next, don't skip the process of thinking things through out of respect for the authority of the writer. Now, as he's mentioned, sure, the writer will sometimes be incorrect. No human writer is perfectly biblical or theologically balanced. But Thomas charges us to love the truth. So I guess I would ask, do we easily tire in the search for truth? Or worse, do we feel that we have found all the truth we'll ever need? Occasionally, I meet Christians who seem to think that. You know, they study the Scriptures before their conversion, and now they, you know, they have something of a devotional life, but they don't really expect to learn anything new. They're reading wrong. I wish they would listen to this podcast. Okay, so let's keep going. Next, it's always easier to speculate and debate than to engage with Scripture. Now, sometimes these discussions just happen, and yet they're not usually particularly productive. So remember, this is a good saying. This is from Book 1, Chapter 17. We are called to endure and to work hard, not to live a life of ease and careless talk. Next, this is the seventh thing I want to share with you. Don't try to impress others with your knowledge, because there are always plenty of people way more knowledgeable than we are. And I experience this all the time. It's very humbling. Number eight, learn to ask questions. And lack of questions doesn't necessarily indicate understanding. Do you have any questions? Nope. That doesn't necessarily mean you understand. It could be an indication of apathy or mental dullness. We really should be asking questions. Nine, learn to listen. So once we get the answer to the question, we got to weigh it. We have to process it. And listening means we have to embrace the silence that's required to digest, not to come back with an objection, which shows that we weren't really even listening to what the guy was saying. So we have to learn to ask and to listen. And tenthly, accept input from older Christians. That's not just for younger Christians. That's for all of us. We all benefit from that. I would like to read this chapter on the reading of the Holy Scriptures once more before we pray and conclude today's lesson. We must look for truth in the Holy Bible, not curious concepts. All Scripture should be read in the spirit in which it was written. We must first search for what is profitable for our own spiritual lives, rather than mining Scripture for a sermon, talk, or Bible study. We ought to read simple devotional books, as well as those that are deep and difficult. Do not let the writer's authority or learning, be it little or great, influence you, but let the love of pure truth attract you to read. Do not ask who said this, but pay attention to what is said. People pass away, but the truth of the Lord endures forever. God speaks in many ways to everyone without respect of person. Our own curiosity often hinders us in the reading of holy writings when we simply want to discuss and debate issues. Avoid these discussions. If you want to read for your spiritual profit, read humbly, simply, honestly, and not to impress people with your knowledge. Don't be afraid to ask questions and listen in silence to the words of godly people. Don't be displeased at criticism from people who have been Christians longer than you, for there is a reason for their advice. Dear Lord, as we think on these wholesome thoughts, help us today to be humble, to be willing to learn from others, including older Christians, to read not to impress others or to make it seem that we're more committed than we are, but truly to read, to meditate, so that we can grow spiritually. We respect that the Bible is a deep mine full of treasures, and we're not just looking for nice verses to help other people with. We come into contact with you in your words, which are spirit. Lord, help us to take to heart all of Thomas Akempis's advice. Let this day be a day where we remember the Scriptures more than usual. Thank you so much for this opportunity in your Son. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed Douglas's series on the imitation of Christ.
For additional notes and resources, be sure to check out Douglas's website in the show notes. The website has hundreds of articles, podcasts, and videos for you to access for free. You can also become a premium subscriber and gain access to thousands of online resources from Douglas's teaching ministry. Thanks again for listening.